are only the two most obvious. But did you realize how important it is for you to let the programmers and corporate underwriters know that you heard about them right here at WCNO Radio? That's right. Always mention the call letters WCNO when you write, call, or visit the ministries or supporters of WCNO. That's WCNO.
Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is my Bible as I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word. I see myself as God sees me. I am who He said I am. I have what He said I have. I can do what He said I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive. My mind is alert. And I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God, you may be seated. Thank God that you've joined us. We're so grateful to the Lord that you have joined us today. We want you to focus with us and concentrate today and hear what the Lord is saying, because today this can make an absolute turnaround in one's life. And it's something that's not too often spoken about, but today the Lord put this on my heart to speak to us about this. We are at healing school. And we want to be healed and we want to stay healed, especially with what's taking place right now with the coronavirus and all the attack that's coming our way. We've got to understand certain things and certain principles in God's Word in order for us to operate in faith and to see the blessings of the promises of God coming to pass in our lives. So I welcome all of the Tradition Worship Center family members, all of our friends around the world, wherever you may be. Thank you for joining us. Let's open up in prayer. So, Father God, we just come before you today and we give you the praise, the power, the honor, and the glory. We thank you, Lord, that you have the name that is above every name, and no other name but the name of Jesus is worthy of praise and worthy of honor and worthy of glory. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here with us right now in this place where I'm talking from and in every person's house or wherever they're listening from. Your Spirit is there. The anointing is there. The power of God is there to touch bodies, minds, and lives, to change situations right where they are right now. We thank you, Lord. We know that the Spirit of God, the anointing, can be anywhere at any time, because you are everywhere, you're all powerful, and you're all knowing. So we thank you, Lord. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We lift up the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. You know, just coming here again this morning, I like to listen to radio stations and yet teaching. Or Christian teaching. And you know, it's just amazing how many times a minister will blame God for the attack on a person's life, for the sickness, for the this and for the no money and the divorce, etc., etc. I just want to make this very clear and very plainly. God is not putting sickness on anybody. He's not using it to teach you anything. I keep saying, if he wants to teach you something, he's got the Spirit. Who's the teacher, sickness or the Holy Spirit? The Bible says the Spirit is the teacher. And so sickness is not a teacher. Sickness hurts, costs money, and takes away your joy. The Holy Spirit comes in. He teaches us through the Word in the Bible and through His Spirit. He encourages us. He blesses us. He leads us and guides us. And so it's not God putting sickness on you. It's not God putting calamity in your life. It's not God causing you to get divorced. It's not Him. He doesn't teach that way. Please get this in your spirit once and for all. God is not the author of sickness and confusion. The devil is. And let me just tell you something. God does not need the devil to do His work. Some people say, well, when I die one day and I get into the street by into heaven, I'll be perfect. So what you're telling me now is that Jesus and all He did cannot perfect you in this lifestyle and lifetime. His righteousness is not enough for you to get into heaven and be perfect in heaven. What you're actually saying when you say, when I get to heaven, I'll be perfect. In other words, you've got to go through the throngs of death, which was instigated and brought on by the devil. He's the author of death and lies and confusion. And so God is the author of life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and more abundant life. The devil brought sickness. The devil brought the curse. The devil is the one, through sin, tricking Adam, he brought all of this in. And death came because of the devil. And because of that death, some people say, well, when I die and I get to heaven, I'll be perfected. In other words, God needed the devil's dirty work to perfect you. Ain't so. You need to get a revelation and a wake-up call that that's not the facts, that's not the truth. God does not need the devil's work to perfect his work. When he hung on the cross and his arms were outstretched and he looked up and he said, it is finished, he gave up the ghost. That's when you became perfected, when you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So God doesn't need the devil to finish his work. So please don't come and tell me these type of things. And let me tell you one other thing. That God is good and the devil is bad. You choose, is sickness good or is it bad? Is calamity good or is it bad? The Bible says the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, God, have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Make a decision today. God's good, devil bad. James 1:17 says, all good gifts. He said, be not deceived, brethren. All good gifts and all perfect gifts comes down from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. In other words, God is good only. Or God is only good. Or God is always only good. Or God is good only always. Whichever way you look at it, I don't care. The devil is bad always. Only bad always. God is good. Just get this in your life and your mind. So if it's bad, it's of the devil. And if it's good, it's of God. Now, I'm not saying that things that bad happen in your life, we can open doors and get outside of the covering of God and open up all kind of calamities in our lives. But God is not the one instigating the calamity. Listen, God is out to help your life and to perfect that which has begun in you. The Bible says, he that begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. So Jesus doesn't, now he does take what the enemy means for your destruction, according to Romans 8:26. Whatever he's meant for, or 8:28, whatever is meant for your destruction, God will turn for your good. So when the devil brings a calamity like there is in the earth today, the whole planet, where every single mountain, the seven mountains have come crashing down on their knees, but the kingdom of God is still standing, God will, through this coronavirus situation, through the financial situation, through everything else, he is able to take what the enemy means for your destruction and turn it to your good. That's it. This is our God. This is our loving, caring, loving God. Amen. So please get this in your mind. And every time you hear a preacher say, well, God did that to teach us something, don't believe that nonsense. God doesn't bring hell and destruction. The devil does. And God said these words. He said, the gates of hell will not prosper, will not be successful against the house of God. You're the house of God, the church of God. And so you got to stand and say, no, that's coming from the gates of hell. I refuse to accept it. I don't care who said it. God's doing this to teach you something. God's doing this because he's trying to get you back on course, back on track. Oh, he got me divorced because he wants to get me back in his path. He got my child killed because he wants to get me back on his path. I don't want to serve a God like that. That's the devil. Get that straight. It's the devil bringing hell and destruction. Amen. Through the curse and through other means, but it's the devil's work. Amen. So I really get peeved at people blaming God for the work of the devil. Even the insurance companies, they say it's an act of God when your house is blown down and destroyed everything in there. It's an act of God. No, that is an act of greed inspired by the devil because you don't want to pay. Even though we've been paying for 30 years, you don't want to pay. So you called it an act of God, so we can't pay out. What a lie. What a disgusting thing to blame God for the work of the devil. Remember, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, listen, I can forgive anything. He was talking in front of the disciples, talking to the Pharisees. He said, God can forgive anything, but when you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost and call his work, the work of the devil, you call it the Holy Ghost, or God's miraculous work, you say it's by the devil, there's a big problem. You need to watch out. That's an unforgivable, unpardonable sin. When you say that that's God bringing hell and destruction, or that's the devil bringing the miraculous, the good. No, don't get confused. God is good always only. Devil is bad always only. I mean, there's nothing else. When he comes to visit with you, he's not coming for a chat. He's not coming for a scone with a cup of tea. He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. That's it. No other reason. So please don't get mixed up. I don't care which minister says God's doing this to teach you a lesson. God's doing that to get you out of pride. No, he's not. Listen, when they said to Jesus, when the man had died, the poor man, and the rich man Lazarus had died, what happened was God said that he was in Abraham's bosom, Lazarus. And the rich man said to Lazarus, Father Abraham, ask him to go and warn my brothers about this place called hell, because that's where I'm at. And Abraham said to him, listen, let me tell you something. There's a schism between us. He can't get there, you can't get here. No one can pass in these lines. But if they did not believe a man hanging on a cross coming back to life, why are they going to believe him? They won't believe him either. You've got to believe the finished work of Jesus and not some made-up religious tradition God's teaching you something. Believe what Jesus said when he hung on the cross. He said, it is finished. The finished work of the cross is where your promises lie. And you get faith in what happened there, and you can move forward. So today I'm talking about how to believe and how to receive. Say that, how to believe and how to receive. Go with me to Mark 11, and we're looking at verse 22. A very, very familiar passage, especially if you're in a church like this, a Word of Faith kind of church, where they preach the truth and what God said we do. So Mark 11, verse 22, I'm reading from the New King James. Jesus answered and said to his disciples, he said to them, have faith in God. The actual translation from the Aramaic says, have the God kind of faith. The type of faith God operates out of, you got to operate out of as well. And that is, God calls things that are not as though they were. He calls what's not into existence. He calls what he wants into existence. When he looked out on chaos and he saw that it was dark and there was no form and order, he said, light be. And light came. He calls what he wants. God calls things that are not as though they were. When God wants something, he speaks it into existence. When you want something, you speak it into existence. So he says, have the faith of God, or have faith in God. Verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, he's talking to you now, whoever's reading this, whoever, that's us, whoever, you're a whoever, all of us in this scripture, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now watch this, verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. He talks about speaking three times and believing once. Right? So he says, whatever things you're asking God for, when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. Now, as a Word of Faith church, all the people here should pick up and say, okay, I've got that, I believe that, but there's scripture, 1 John 5:14, that says, this is a confidence that we have in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And then we get what we asked him for. So you got to realize, therefore, what things soever you ask, make sure it's in the line of the will of God. In other words, healing is in the will of God. When the leper came to Jesus, said, I know you can, will you heal me? He said, I will. Boom, healed him. He went around healing. It's the will of God. Why? I know the will of God by the Word of God. I know the will of God by the Word of God. And my faith cannot be any stronger than the Word that I know.
Hello, this is Dr. Gerard Currie of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie. We trust that our daily broadcast is a blessing in your life. We strive to bring you a word that will strengthen your faith and improve your relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you would like to sow a tax-deductible gift into this ministry, please go to traditionworshipcenter.com and click on the donate or give button and follow the prompts. Thank you for your continued support and God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
Good Country Homestyle Cooking is found at Crossroads Restaurant. your place for beef and pork roast, chicken and dumplings, fried